I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate you. We are available on all streaming platforms and the majority of social media. If you want to support this particular podcast, feel free to go to cash app $oneplan. And again, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoy the stream. All right, so this may come to a slight surprise to many of you. Now, I typically wouldn't talk about this particular subject, but I'm going to talk about it today because I deal with them all the time. That's right. I'm talking about lawyers. You know, for years now, I've always heard people in conversations brag about, I got a lawyer. I'm going to get my lawyer to do this, lawyer that. I'm lawyered up. And I understand where they're coming from. But when you break down the true psychology of having a attorney or a lawyer, if you will, you'll then soon realize that most attorneys, well, they're playing for the same team, of course. Why? Because they're a part of the Bar Association. Whether it's a defense attorney or a prosecutor, it really doesn't matter. They share information with the judge, and that's why your cases are so prepared by the time you get to court, because both sides know what they're going to be talking about, and both sides know what they're going to argue about. Now, where it falls into place for you, if you're going to be found innocent or if you're going to be found guilty. And listen to the words that they choose, found. They found some information, some evidence that shows that you are innocent of what you are being accused of or you're guilty for the alleged crime. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I was talking to an attorney the other day, not going to disclose their name or their location. But as I was talking to them, I started to realize how compromised most attorneys are. You see, if you tell an attorney the truth about your whole entire situation, that's good. To be honest, is good. But they realize that a lot of people fudge the truth so they could look good in the eyes of that particular attorney. But what you don't realize is they're going to do so much digging into your life that they're going to make a contrast, if you will, about what you're being accused of and if you're going to be found innocent or guilty of that particular crime. Now, do lawyers care about winning? Of course. Most lawyers depend on winning because it's a part of their livelihood. Now, in true essence, are they really concerned about if you win or lose? Not really, because they still get the same amount that you signed on the contract, whether it's a lien on your car, your house, money from your bank account, whatever the case may be that you negotiate with that attorney. They're going to get it regardless, and you're still going to be found either innocent or guilty. And if you're found guilty, you're definitely going to do the time. And I started thinking about this because the attorney that I was speaking to, when I asked him, is he compromised? He knew exactly what I was talking about. And the compromise that I was talking about was, are you really doing the truthful and the honest thing for your client? Now, when he talks to me about certain cases, I realized that he's not telling me the full truth. And he can't tell me the full truth because of attorney-client privileges. And that's cool, because I could possibly get on here and do stuff like this and talk about a case or even say the person's name. But when I asked him, man, are you compromised? And he says, Darshawn, you know what? I am compromised. And he said, how can you tell? I say, well, at a certain point in your life, when you start making a certain amount of money, you start doing things to keep that money coming in. And sometimes those things that you start to do, you start to fudge the truth. You start to backdoor certain deals and make certain agreements. Now, when it comes to attorneys and judges, you guys don't understand that they still hang out with each other in the community. They go to country clubs, they go to bars, and most of those attorneys, they hang out with the police officers. It's just one big old good old boys club. And as of recently, the ladies are a part of that club as well. So no one's exempt from hanging out with each other. And actually, they look at us, the clients, as a money grab. Now, there are some attorneys that probably do feel like, hey, I really want to get the best result for my client. Please just tell me the truth about what's going on. And let me see if I can get you dismissed or get you a lesser charge. But what we don't understand is, no matter the field of the attorney, when they're going against the other person, they're actually going up against their bar associate colleague. They're not just going up against another attorney. If you ever looked at the case of Alex Murdaugh that I covered, and I talked about the handshake and the nice gestures between the opposing attorneys for that murder case, those attorneys became best friends. Now, they argued on both sides for their clients. But at the end, Alex Murdaugh went to prison for the rest of his life. And those attorneys, well, I'm pretty sure they went out to go get a nice steak afterwards. So when you guys brag about having an attorney, I don't see it as something to be braggadocious about. I see it as, okay, I understand why you need to have an attorney, but think about all the money that you're wasting and or just spending to have an attorney who really does not care what the outcome is because they still got to get paid. Now, again, I'm projecting because I believe that some attorneys do care about their clients. But at the very end of the day, just me personally and my personal opinion, I don't think they care too much. But it doesn't matter to me because most of the people that they're representing, some of these people are going to jail or prison, if you will, for like 200, 300, 1,000 years, you know, which is absolutely ridiculous. And again, what I mentioned earlier into the stream is that they talk about the case with each other. Hey, what's the plea bargain for this? My client wants to take this. My client wants to do this. The state wants to give him this. This is the punishment for her. This is the punishment for him. And I never really realized it until this year of me covering a lot of these criminal cases and also talking to criminal attorneys, real estate attorneys, just different attorneys about different things. And I would just ask them questions out of pure curiosity just to see if they're going to tell me the truth. And when I look up the justice system, I wonder why people protest so much about saying that the justice system isn't fair, because they all talk with each other. Now, it's just not a black and white issue. It's just the principle of the justice system in general and how it's set up to be against everybody who gets found guilty of something. Now, you're not the only person that's going to run into the law. You're not the only person that's going to be entered in the court system. My reason for making this particular stream is to show you guys, well, who's really winning when it comes to bragging about having an attorney? And to me, I think that the attorney gets to brag amongst themselves because they got another sucker. They can charge pretty much any price they want, assuming that it's supposed to be fair. But they can charge whatever they want, because what you'll be looking for is the best attorney to get you off of the case or to get the case dismissed. Everybody wants to go in and win, but attorneys don't look at it as a win. They look at it as the best result or the best outcome for that client on that particular case. If you tell the truth about your particular situation, just know that an attorney sees why you're in front of them, because there could be something wrong with your truth. Otherwise, if you were doing what you were supposed to do and if you were telling the truth, you wouldn't be in front of that attorney. And that's how they look at it, no matter what the case may be. You're here because you've been accused of something, and it has to be some truth towards that accusation, or else you just wouldn't be here. And they make a good point. But there are some circumstances where people do get accused of doing something that they did not do. But for the most part, they were in close proximity of it happening. Either they know the person, 6 degrees of separation in the area, whatever the case may be. All I know is you're here in front of me, so go ahead and tell me what happened. And if you don't tell them exactly what happened and you fudge the truth for yourself, you're going to find yourself into deeper waters. Because the prosecution side, where they're going to dig up your whole life, they're going to dig into your whole background, and they're going to do their absolute best to tie you to whatever that crime is. And it doesn't matter the category. They just need to get you close enough to it so that the jury can see that they found you guilty of what you're being accused of. Now, this is going to be part one of this lawyer one. Part two is going to be about divorce attorneys. And that one's going to be very interesting, because people brag so much about having prenups and postnups contracts and going to get marriage certificates and going to the courthouse to file that no one really pays attention to what really happens when you go through a divorce. Anyway, my name is Darshawn McAway. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this. This is just my 2 cents, if you will, about why people will brag about having a lawyer and they're up, when really, they're down. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate you. We are available on all streaming platforms and the majority of social media. If you want to support this particular podcast, feel free to go to $OnePlant. And again, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoy the stream. Now, in this particular stream, we're going to talk divorce lawyers. Yeah, that's right. A lot of you get into these relationships and you have the slightest clue what's going to take place in your future. Now, being married for some people is a great thing. Being married to other people is probably the worst decision of their lives. We've seen all the stories. We've seen the Bill Gates, the Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Donald Trump. We've seen all these high profile celebrity marriages go directly down the drain. Why? Is it because they're unhappy? Possibly. Is it because they just don't want to deal with the person anymore? Most likely. But one thing I do know for sure, it's always under conditions that we place on each other. See, we get into these relationships and marriages and we put conditions on people. I'm not happy anymore. You're not doing the things that you used to. Condition after condition after condition. So the court system says, you know what? We have a condition too. If you get a marriage certificate by us, the condition that you have to go through in order to get a divorce, well, you have to file with us. That's why a lot of people consider marriages and divorces a business partnership or businesses gone bad because of the amount of money that's involved when the two have to split. And the time being spent between parents when it comes down to their kids. Throughout the years, maybe even centuries, there have been families that have been doing some despicable things, all in the name of my child belongs to me. This is no longer your child. I need 100% custody. I don't want to do 50-50, or I don't want to do summers or weekdays or weekends. I just want the kid 100% to myself, and you need to pay me alimony. You need to pay child support, and you need to take care of what you were going to take care of because I'm no longer happy with you in this marriage. Therefore, you need to keep on sponsoring me for the rest of my life. And the court system knows that. Most men know that when they get into a relationship that this could possibly go wrong. But I can truly say this, for the most part, most men and women who decide to get married, they're not thinking about getting a divorce. They're not thinking about it going downhill. What they're thinking about is, this could possibly last forever. But sometimes, well, I would like to say almost every time, it doesn't even turn out to be that way. For some strange reason, it always turns into a huge battle. And in this stream, I want to make it very clear to you guys that the video that we're about to watch and the article that we're about to read through, I need you guys to understand that attorneys typically don't want you to hear this information. But here it goes. We're going to listen to a YouTuber called The Lead Attorney. He's a divorce attorney for over 20 years. He's currently retired. And he's given his take on what he would do or what he has done when he had certain clients of a certain clientele. Now, please excuse me because I believe he uses some profanity. So we're going to practice the fair use policy and give him credit when credit is due. And we're going to listen to it. It's about 7 minutes and we're going to see where he's coming from. And from there, we're going to go ahead and go into the article about contested and uncontested divorces. And I want you guys to tell me, are attorneys willing to tell you this information? Or did it take someone like me to expose the hidden truth? Well, it's a good thing I'm not an attorney, because you guys can't hold me to this. So my disclaimer is, this is not legal advice. This is just some advice that I found on the internet.
It says Tyrese's estranged wife, Samantha, let's call her Sam, is trying to take Tyrese to the cleaners. Tyrese, 42 years old, filed a motion to disallow unreasonable attorney's fees. Uh-oh. After a third attorney submitted an entry of appearance to represent Samantha as lead counsel. Oh my God. What does this mean? What does the entry of appearance mean? The entry of appearance is what we file when we enter into a case. If there's a case going and you hire me, I submit an entry of appearance. That's letting the court know, hey, I'm on the case now. Don't talk to this guy now. You talk to me. Don't send this guy any orders from the court. You send them to me. Other side, don't send this man any correspondence. You send it to me. This is my address. Send everything to me. I'm in the case. That's the entry of appearance. What happened in this case? What are they saying? The wife, case was going, the wife had one attorney. One attorney submits an entry of appearance. Therese is like, okay. Then another attorney comes and submits an entry of appearance. So now she's got two attorneys. Therese is like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This lady, Sam, is unemployed. One attorney is already going to cost me a lot. Because this attorney knows that I'm paying. Sam ain't got no money. I'm having to pay my attorney and I'm having to pay Sam's attorney. Now a new attorney has filed an entry of appearance. Now I have to pay two attorneys? The court's like, yeah. Then what happened? A third attorney came. It's like a wildebeest on the Serengeti just laid out. And then one lion is like eating on him. And then other lions hear the commotion. And then another lion come and eat on the body. Still alive. The damn wildebeest is still alive. That's what's happening to Therese. That second attorney came and said, no, let me get some. Let me eat on him. And Therese was like, what the hell? Then a third attorney came. The third attorney was like, no, let me eat on him. Let me eat on him. Move out the way. Let me eat on him. He had three attorneys eating on the body. He's got to pay for all of that. And the attorneys know. Let me tell you something, guys. I don't care about that the husband has to pay me. I can run up the fees to whatever. Now, that's not really ethical, but a lot of attorneys do it. So what'll happen? You'll have a big fish. You'll have a big body, a big wildebeest, a Therese. And then you'll get one attorney. And then their attorney be like, hey, get on the phone. Hey, I got a big body. You wanna come and eat on him? You want to come and eat on him a little bit? And they're like, yeah. And so then another attorney will come up. The other attorney will come up and file the entry of appearance. And they'll be eating. And then the second attorney, no, let me call somebody else. Let me call somebody else. Hey, we got a big body. You want to come and eat on him? And they're like, yeah. So now they got three. This is what this lady did. Look, and Therese filed a motion like, come on. Filed a motion to disallow unreasonable attorney's fees after a third attorney submitted an entry of appearance. They trying to eat on him. Look at what Decatur Red did. Three attorneys eating on the body. I mean, it is what it, this is the type of gamemanship. Shout out to all my blue pill brothers. My blue pill brothers don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. I've seen it for 20 years. I have had people on the phone talking about my client's body, and here they come to eat on it. And I'll be honest with you. I've had some phone calls. They're like, hey, Lee, you want to come and eat on him? I'll be like, I do.
We're going to talk about what is contested and uncontested. So pay close attention to this. This is about 5 minutes. I'm going to have the AI system go ahead and walk us through this. So please take your time and give me your undivided attention. Let's go.
From DivorceNet. What is a contested divorce? By Lena Guillen, attorney. Learn more about the contested divorce process. What does contested divorce mean? A contested divorce is the most complicated of divorces because it involves spouses who can't agree on one or more divorce-related issues in their case. Contested versus uncontested divorce. Typically, there are two kinds of divorces. The first is an uncontested divorce, which is where both spouses agree on all issues concerning the divorce, including but not limited to the division of marital property and debts, child custody, child support, and spousal support, alimony. The second, a contested divorce, is where the spouses can't agree on their divorce issues, and they end up in court, asking a judge to make these decisions for them. Whether it's one or all issues, if you disagree on anything, the court considers your divorce contested. Perhaps the most significant difference between an uncontested and a contested divorce is the legal process's cost and time. Although it usually costs the same to file either type of divorce, spouses going through a contested divorce are more likely to spend money on attorney's fees and expert witness fees, such as financial consultants or appraisers, than a couple that agrees on most divorce-related issues. In many states, the law requires judges to wait a certain amount of time before finalizing a divorce. Although the waiting period is usually the same for both contested and uncontested divorces, divorcing spouses involved in a contested divorce will often see the waiting period come and go before the court decides all the divorce-related issues. As a result, an uncontested divorce is not only cheaper but will take significantly less time to finalize than a contested case. Uncontested divorce. An uncontested divorce means that both spouses agree on all of their divorce-related issues. Each state has specific legal requirements that spouses must meet before they can proceed with an uncontested divorce. You may want to consult with a local attorney or check your local courthouse website for specific requirements. Even though you have to meet certain requirements, an uncontested divorce is often much easier than a contested divorce because spouses can end their marriage without constant negotiations, legal posturing, and court hearings. Thus, an uncontested divorce usually involves less stress and fewer legal fees. The uncontested divorce process also tends to preserve a relationship between the spouses, which is especially important if they have children. However, divorcing spouses must be able to work together toward mutually agreeable resolutions in order to resolve all of their divorce issues. Although working with your soon-to-be ex to settle important financial and child-related issues may seem difficult, it's one way to end your marriage without a full-blown court battle. However, divorcing spouses must be able to work together toward mutually agreeable resolutions in order to resolve all of their divorce issues. If your goal is to proceed with an uncontested divorce, but you're having trouble communicating with your ex, you can participate in mediation to resolve your issues. Mediation is a voluntary process, in most states, where a neutral third party facilitates a conversation between the spouses in the hopes of reaching an agreement on outstanding divorce issues. If the spouses agree, the mediator will draft an agreement to present to the court, and the judge will sign it into the divorce order. If either spouse disagrees with a contested issue, the mediator will send them back to the judge for resolution. Contested divorce. A contested divorce is just what it sounds like. One or both spouses contest, dispute, some aspect of their divorce. Therefore, the divorce proceedings take much longer to complete and typically involve greater stress and increased legal fees. With a contested divorce, spouses will have to go through numerous steps before the divorce is finalized, including prepare, file, and serve, deliver, the divorce petition, legal paperwork asking for the divorce and stating the grounds for the breakdown of the marriage. Respond to the petition. Interview and hire an attorney. Engage in divorce discovery, the information gathering process, which involves various legal procedures to get information from your spouse and third-party witnesses, e.g., written questions, subpoenas, and depositions. Pre-trial legal motions and hearings. Settlement proposals and negotiations between attorneys. If settlement fails, prepare for trial. Complete a court trial and file an appeal if you dispute the trial judge's decisions. During the settlement phase, spouses are often unable to resolve issues. Although the divorce judge may encourage spouses to work things out, the next step is divorce court when that doesn't happen. During the trial, both spouses present witnesses, and their lawyers cross-examine the witnesses and present closing arguments. After the trial is over, the court will issue a final order memorializing all of the judge's decisions and finalize the divorce. Divorce, especially contested divorces, are complex. Therefore, spouses in a contested divorce should definitely speak with an experienced divorce lawyer who can inform them of their legal rights and ensure they are fully protected.
So now that you have all this information, it's going to be totally up to you. And one of the biggest things that I wanted to point out was how attorneys will use you to get the money. They can care less. And these attorneys who are talking this information, they don't care about it anymore because they're retired. So they could easily say anything that that's what they used to do, or this is entertainment, or whatever the case may be. It really just doesn't matter. But for the most part, I want you guys to understand the reason for this particular stream is to get you guys to have open communication with your spouse, with your girlfriend or boyfriend, to find out, hey, how do we want to end this? That's the biggest thing. Every attorney that you're going to get in contact with when it comes to splitting up, they're going to talk to you about uncontested and contested. They won't say it to you on the internet, but they'll tell you this is how smooth it can go, and this is how bad it can go very easily. So I hope you guys are learning something from these particular streams. My name is Darshawn McAway. We are talking about divorce lawyers and what it takes to be contested and uncontested in your marriage.
My Blue Pill brothers don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. I've seen it for 20 years. I have had people on the phone talking about my client's body, and here they come to eat on it. And I'll be honest with you, I've had some phone calls. They're like, hey, Lee, you want to come and eat on her? I'll be like, I do.